Chesmer Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Levi said, in the name of Rabbi Meir. Right? Whenever it says Mishum, it's interesting. Sometimes the Gemara will say, Amar Rabbi whatever. And it doesn't have the word Mishum, right? You ever notice that? It doesn't always have the word Mishum. So Mishum seems to mean in the name of. So it sounds like whenever it says, this one said, meaning he heard it from him. He said it. It says in the name of somebody else. I mean, I didn't hear it directly from him, but that's what I heard in his name. So he's reporting it in his name, not that he necessarily heard it directly from himself. So in any case, we really said in the name of Rabbi Meir. You have these two sukkahs of a yotzer. A yotzer is some sort of, a craftsman. I don't know, somebody that makes something. So you have one that's inside the other. So we'll explain this in a second, but what the words mean is that the penimis, the inner sukkah, is not a valid sukkah, and it's actually chayav and mezuzah. And the chitzoina, the outer sukkah, is a sukkah, and is therefore exempt from mezuzah. So what's going on over here? So Rashi tries to describe it to us. And it says, this is the third Rashi on the page, Shtei sukkah shel yoitzrim. Kach hayaderech shel yoitzei klei cheres bimeim. This is what people used to be potters. In those days, that was what was normal back then. Osim lahem shtei sukkah zu lifnei mizu. They made a sukkah, one within the other. B'pinimis hu dar u'matzniya kederesav. And the inner one is where you actually would live. And he would matzniya. What matzniya? What word is that? What's the sun? Matsnia. Sanua, right? So, private, modest. He would hide away. Kedei Resav, all of his paths, whatever he made. Bechitzayna, and in the outer one, who oisam alach, there's where he actually would make his various vessels. And Moshe Kedei Resav, in court, that's where he would take out all of the things to sell. So I don't know if he necessarily sold them all within, underneath that sukkah, or he took them out and he sold them on the street. But whatever it is, basically, the way that Rashi wants us to visualize it is that there's an inner one and an outer one. Inner one does not mean it has like a second roof. It's inside another sukkah. That's not what it means. It means it's in the back. So there's a front and a back. That's really what Rashi seems to be saying. So you'd expect, well, wait a second. What's it made out of? It's got schach on the top and it's got walls on the sides. And it's a sukkah. So what's going on over here? Why in the world would one be a valid sukkah and not chayav in mezuzah, and one be totally invalid as sukkah and be chayav in mezuzah? Like, what's going on over here? So Rashi, we'll go with Rashi. There's a little bit of machlokes because we show him here, but we'll go with Rashi. Penimis ain't a sukkah. The inner one, meaning the back one, is not a sukkah. Rashi says, in balei shev, sukkah b'chag b'shem sukkah. Rashi right away says, if he wants to dwell in it, sit in it, on sukkahs, for the sake of sukkah. In other words, yes, it's physically structured as a sukkah. It's got schach and it's got walls. I'm not trying to tell you that it's not a sukkah. It's not a physical point. It's a halachic point. It doesn't count as a sukkah. And Rashi says, whenever Rashi says va'afal gav, right away, he's trying to get out of something, right? And even though, what do you mean? What's bothering you? I know what you're going to say, says Rashi. You're going to say, but a sukkah doesn't have to be built for the sake of sukkahs. So what's the problem? Is it a sukkah? It's not a sukkah. All we care about is a physical structure, no? Even though you don't need a sukkah to be built for the purpose of sukkahs, the shame chag. We pass like Beis Hillel, the actual sukkah, shana, masnisen. That's our next mission we didn't get to yet. Then we pass like Beis Hillel, that an old sukkah that was not made for the sake of sukkahs is valid. Hacha ain't a sukkah. Here, it's not a sukkah. Why? So ready for this? Buckle your seatbelts. The loyminkara milsa. It's not recognizable, this thing. Minkara is to be nikar, recognizable. This thing is not nikar, it's not recognizable. The l'shem sukkah hu dar boy. Now for the sake of a sukkah, he is living in it. So Rashi made a distinction. Rashi says there's a difference between the reason why you built the structure. We don't care. We don't care why you built it. What we do care about is that it has to be recognizable that when you're in it, on Sukkos, it has to be recognizable that you're using it for the sake of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Right? You hear the distinction? I don't care why you made the Sukkah. You might have made this Sukkah, you know, at some point earlier because you wanted to sit in it, or you want, I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever you do, why you originally made it, I don't care. But if it's not recognizable on Sukkah, that you're in it for the sake of Sukkah, then that's a problem. The Hakolim is Shana Daira Asam, because this particular potter, he lives there the whole year. And most of his things that he does, and most of his meals, and most of his sleep, all occurs there. This is just the way the guy lives. So he's living the rest, he's living on Sukkot like he lives the rest of the year. So that's a problem. But, so therefore it's Chayev Mezuzah. Lo Olam, it's always Chayev and Mezuzah the whole year, Mishim, called Tirasim, but that's his house. Achitzayna Sukkah, but the outer one is a sukkah. The Yetzbei Dechavasa, he fulfills his obligation there. He doesn't have to destroy it and remake it for the purpose of Chag, of Sukkahs. Kibaisullah, like we said, Baisullah said, Sukkah Yeshana, an old sukkah is valid. Meaning it wasn't erected for the sake of Sukkahs. We don't care about that. Mishum Hakkerid Emitalek Alamesar. And my previous issue with the inner sukkah, because of the recognizableness, I know that's not a real word, but making it recognizable that it's for the mitzvah, there is not leka, there is not lemesa to make it prohibited. The cave and the kula shasa, since the whole shasa means shana, since the whole year, lav hacha dair, he doesn't live in that part of it, he just kind of works there, he's there sort of temporarily. Vashta dair, but now he's going to move his table and his bed, he's going to move in there and actually live in that part. Ika hekera, then there is a it is recognizable that he's doing that for the sake of sukkahs. So do you get what Rashi just did to us, what he just said? Where it starts off by saying, there's a physical structure that looks exactly like a sukkah. There's two parts to it. There's the back and there's the front. In the back is where the potter lives whole year long. His bed is there, his table is there, his wife is there, you know, whatever. His farmer there. And then the outer sukkah is where he hangs out and he builds his pots, you know, the pottery, that's where his pottery wheel is, and he has certain things that he sells there, and, you know, and whatever he wants to take from his actual house, you know, he uses that outer sukkah to get from his house to the street, you know. So the outer one is a valid sukkah, because even though he uses his pottery wheel and he makes things there and he sells things there or whatever, he doesn't live there. He doesn't eat his meals there. He doesn't sleep there. That's not where most of his living activities takes place. So that is considered a valid sukkah. Even though it's not made for sukkahs, it's made for year-round use. But it's made for him to be able to sit in the shade and to do whatever he needs to do in it during the daytime. But the back sukkah, that's his house. So it's not recognizable that it's a sukkah. On Sukkot. What do you think? That's an Isser Daraisa? It's a problem? Daraisa or problem? Darbana? In the end of the day, it's made to protect them from the elements, for shade and everything else. It's a physically kosher sukkah. It's just not recognizable to the onlooker that sees him every day, or maybe to the person himself, because he's there every day, that this is for the Sukkot. So if you're a betting man, you're saying Rashi learns, this is a psul derabanan. You with me? Mm-hmm. It's really a totally kosher sukkah. Midrabanan, because it looks, it's not right. It's not a good idea. So we prohibit it midrabanan. And that is how I think everybody learns pshat in Rashi. The Rashi learns that this Gemara is learning that this is a psul derabanan in this guy's sukkah, but it's not technically a psul deraisa. Okay. There's another discussion we should have sometime. Let's say that something is psul derabanan. But deraisa, it's a valid sukkah. If a person does live there on Sukkot and does all of his mitzvahs there, is he yotzei deraisa? Or is there actually a concept that when the Rabbanan said his sukkah is pasul, he doesn't even fulfill the mitzvah sukkah deraisa? A pretty wild idea. But there are a load of Mari Mechomos that's true. A whole slew of Mari Mechomos. Let's say, for example, a person wants to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Someone had an interesting case, think of a QA, there's a tshuva about this or something, that guy wants to walk by, he's going to walk by the Reform Shul. The Reform Shul blows shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. because they only have one day anyway, I don't know, whatever. Yeah? So they're blowing shofar on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. At all. Why? It's a din d'rabbanan, it's a gzeira, afraid people are going to carry it. So we don't blow shofar at all on Rosh Hashanah, Chalias, and Shabbos. So this guy says, okay, but I'm really from, so I'm going to go by the Reform Temple and hear shofar on Shabbos because Doraisa, I'm Mechuyev. Doraisa, I have to hear shofar on Shabbos. It's Rosh Hashanah. Is he Yote? That's nothing. So there's a whole slew of Marmikomos that it's mamish nothing. That when the Rabbanan say that it's no good, it doesn't work, it's usher to do, whatever, that you're actually not Yote Doraisa, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. So it's a discussion we should have another time. It's a very interesting topic. So that's how Rashi learns that this is a Pesul D'Rabbanan because it doesn't look like a proper sukkah because he lives in it the rest of the year. What's the mezuzah idea? So that's Pashto, right? Anytime a person, this is his regular house, it's Chayav and mezuzah. A temporary sukkah is Pater from mezuzah. Now, I would like to go into this more. We're not going to go into it now. But it seems like this Gemara is dealing with another issue that has to do with mezuzah that's definitely worthwhile to think about and to ask Shilas, you know, when we have these scenarios. Isn't it at the end of the day the outer sukkah basically is office? You know what it is? It's his office. He's an editor in the afternoons. He makes his pottery there. That's where his potter's wheel is. He's selling things there. It's his office. It's his workplace. Does the workplace not require mezuzah? Rashi writes, "Peturim mina mezuzah la'olam, always the lab dira he, because it's not a dira. How would you translate a dira? House. Yeah, it's not like a living space, a dwelling. It's not like a dwelling. He doesn't live there. Shein asiya latzeis ve'lavoi derech sham. It's only basically a hallway. It's there to go out and to come in. Ve'lahachnes sham tegarim and to bring in merchants there." What is that, conference room? Anyway, so that's an interesting thing to figure out. What, when is something chayav in mezuzah, and when is something putter in mezuzah? You know, people have like these walk-in closets. So walk-in closet, you have to put a mezuzah, you don't have to put a mezuzah. It's machlokes, it's something. A lot of people say you have to put a mezuzah on things like that. Anyway, so something to think about. So the Gemara says, again, Rabbi Yishim, Rabbi Meir. Shtei sukkah is the inner one and the outer one. So the back sukkah is no good. Rashi says Dirabana because it doesn't look like a sukkah. And the outer one is valid and does not require a mezuzah. Rashi says the whole year. Gemara is Akasha. Gemara says Vomai. Why should it be that the outer one is valid? Tiyabi chitzayna kebeis shara panimis. At least the outer one should be chayav in mezuzah. Let's translate it carefully. And why? Tihabe, let it be chitzona, the outer one. Kibes shar hapnimis. Base means a house. Shar, gate. Gatehouse. Let it at least be a gatehouse, hapnimis, for the inner one, for the back sukkah. And therefore, the chayav in mezuzah should be chayav in mezuzah. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, three lines up from where it gets wide. But you have a kibbeis shar panimis. The kaimalon of nachas, the kumeis rabba, that's the name of the parak in nachas. The chayav mezuzah midrabbanon. Even though deraisa, it's not chayav mezuzah midrabbanon. It is chayav and mezuzah. Why? Beis shar is a pirka. I don't know. Belaz shalif ne'abayis. It's like a. It seems like some kind of entryway. It's a guard booth. You know, it's a gate. It's the entryway to the house. So the entryway to the house may be put there. The raisa from us is a midrabbanan, it's chayav. So Rash, so according to Rashi, the Gemara is bothered by, okay, sukkah, apparently, where you don't have any problems with, it's not a kasha on sukkah. It's only a kasha on mezuzah. The other one should be chayav and mezuzah, at least. So Gemara answers three words, mishum de lo kaviyah. Because it's not kavua, it's not fixed. Because what's not fixed? It's not fixed. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, "Mishum de lo kaviyah, lo zu velo zu, not the inner sukkah, not the outer sukkah. Davar kavua. Neither one is a davar kavua. Veina pnimius chashuva lios la beis shar. And the inner one is not significant. It's not chashuv that it should have a beis shar. Maybe it should have like a gateway, like a door, like a an entrance way. What's he saying?
In other words, it sounds like Rashi's saying that these a sukkah is not like a very permanent structure. Obviously, the structure we're talking about here is mamash a sukkah. So it's not a very permanent type of structure. So you want to claim that the entryway to this sukkah should be a valid entryway, which Midrash Rabbanan has chayv and mezuzah. Rashi says, can't be. This is not kavua enough. If a person makes like a shack, and then to for sukkahs, I don't know, and then he makes like an entryway. I mean, like an entryway. Entryway means you have a what do you call this in the fancy words with the foyer. You know, a person has like a foyer. It's like something you built, like an area that's a permanent dwelling. It's a house, have a foyer. You don't have a foyer to a shack. It's just a whatever. You want to be able to have some shade. You want to sit underneath it or something like that. But it doesn't have this. That's not chashuv enough. What's not chashuv enough? The main sukkah, the part that he actually lives in, says Rashi, is not chashuv enough that this should be considered an entryway to that. You're right. Had this been a house, and this was the entryway to the house, we would have called it a base shahr, it would be chayav and mezuzah d'rabbanan. Now, because it's just a shack, it's just a sukkah, it's not chashuv enough. So, Rei Rashi learns, Mishum de lo kaviyah, is that neither one of them is really a permanent structure. It's too flimsy, it's too temporary. So, you may live in it the whole year, practically, in the day, but it's not apparently a chashuv enough structure that the entryway should be considered an entryway. Okay, but bottom line, what do we learn from this? We learn from this that whenever you have a person that lives in a sukkah the whole year, it's invalid for a sukkah. Rashi learns midrabam. Tan rabam. Ganvach is an acronym for the following. Sukkas goyim, sukkas nashim, sukkas behema, sukkas kusim. If you have a sukkah made by non-Jews, a sukkah made by women, for the purpose of women, sukkah not made by animals, made for the purpose of animals, and sukkah for the purpose of kusim. What are kusim? Sometimes kusim are an editorial, what do you call it? Censorship. Sometimes the Gemara is actually referring to goyim, and because of censoring, it says kusim. But here you see it's both. It's a sukkah goyim. Because kusim, so obviously that's not the case here. Kusim were a nation that quote-unquote converted to Judaism, because there was a time period where there were lions wandering around Eretz Yisrael, and they were attacking people. So to avoid the lions harming them, they decided to convert to Judaism so that they would be saved from the lions. That doesn't work. So the Kusim were sketchy converts, because they converted with an ulterior motive, and the question is, were they really sincere, were they not really sincere? So the Gemara says at the end of the day that there was discovered later on in history that they actually were still doing Avodah Zarah. It seems like they never really were sincere. But the Gemara all over the place discusses the Kusim and says, were they considered Geri Arayos? They converted only because of the lions, or not only because of the lions. So the bottom line is the Kusim were sketchy converts, and they performed certain mitzvahs that they actually were makbid on, and certain mitzvahs they were not makbid on at all. The mitzvahs they were not makbid about, you can't trust them. But the mitzvahs that they were makbid about, Gemara says, okay, we trust them because they were careful about those mitzvahs. So what does it have to do with anything? So these are sukkahs that were made for certain reasons. For goyim, for women, for animals, or for the kusim. Sukkah mikol makom. A sukkah, whatever it is, in any case, ksheira, is kosher. All of these sukkahs that we just listed are kosher. Obilvad provided that that it is schacht properly. What do you mean properly? What's kahalacha? How do you put the schach on improperly? What do you mean? I'm Reb Chisda. It's made for shade. It has to at least be made for shade. Okay, so what are all of these things? So Rashi tells a little bit. Rashi, the second white line, says sukkas goyim. Shasuya ladur ba bimosagama. Non-Jews made this sukkah because it's hot. They didn't have air conditioning. So in the summertime, people made sukkahs and they would go hang out outside. That's the famous tour. Remember this? Why in the world do we celebrate sukkahs in Tishrei? You'll say, what do you mean? Is that what Hashem said? Why is Sukkah in Tishrei? Why should Sukkah be in Tishrei? The Torah says, "L'man yeidu derisaychem ki v'sukkah se'shafis b'nei Yisrael." The reason for Sukkah, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, is because I want everyone to know that we lived in Sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim. That's a machlokas we're going to see in the Gemara, whether that means the Anana Yaakovod, right? Or it means physical Sukkahs. And Hashem provided us with materials to make physical Sukkahs. And when it was hot, made us some shade. So why Tishrei? Yetzias Mitzrayim was in... What month is that again? Nisan! Sukkah should have been in Nisan. That's when we left Mitzrayim. So, in fact, why don't we have the Seder in a Sukkah? That would have been perfect, no? Well, okay, you'll say, well, the Seder is Yetzias Mitzrayim. All right, the next few days. A week later, the next day, I don't know. So there are various answers to these, to this question. Maybe we'll touch on another one later. But the tour, right, that's the Rush's son that wrote that first book of Halacha that we discussed, right? So the tour writes that it would not be recognizable that we're sitting in a sukkah for sukkahs if we did it in Nisan. Because that's when everybody's going out into their sukkahs because the weather is nice, it's hot, it's getting too hot to stay inside. Everybody's going out into sukkahs. That's what means sukkahs kayim. Everybody's going outside and building sukkahs in Eretz Yisrael that time of year. But in Tishrei, it's starting to get, I don't know, cold, but it's starting to get rainy. And everybody's bringing everything inside, including the dried figs, the dried dates, the dried raisins. Everything is coming in because it's about to start raining. And sometimes it starts raining then. That's why, by the way, that it's considered to be a very bad sign if it rains on Sukkot. Because it really might, it's the beginnings of the possibility of the rainy season. So for Kadosh Baruch Hu, in Eretz Yisrael, not in the United States of America. It's amazing, America rains all the time. In Eretz Yisrael, if it rains on Sukkot, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is like saying, I'm not interested in your Sukkot. That's a bad sign. Okay, so Sukkahs Goyim is because the Goyim also, when it's nice outside, they build Sukkahs for shade. They're not building them in Tishrei. They're taking them down or going back inside in Tishrei. But they built it in order that they should have shade. And then the other ones are also for all sorts of other purposes. For Nashim, meaning women also, they want to hang out outside with the nice weather. Sukkahs Behema, you want to build some sort of doghouse, you want to build whatever, some kind of shade for your animals. Or Sukkahs Kusim, again, I don't know why Kusim should be any different than the Goyim, but whatever it is. Sukkah Mikol Makom, the Gemara will come back to that. What do you mean Sukkah Mikol Makom? Sukkah whatever it is. Like, if you're listening, then make a list. If it's not a list, so then don't make a list. Like, what does it mean Sukkah Mikol Makom? We'll come back to that in a minute. But the bottom line is that all of these Sukkahs are kosher as long as they were made properly, meaning what? Meaning, Amar Chista Vishasa Litzeya. They were made for shade. They weren't made for shade. They were made because you want to do it for other reasons. You want to raise the roof. You want to keep things on top of it. So that could be a different story altogether. But if it's made for shade, then it's good for Sukkah. We don't care about the real motivation for why it was made. It certainly does not have to be made for the sake of Sukkahs. Sukkah Mikol Makom Nasu Yemai. Gemara asks, quote, Sukkah Mikol Makom, when that was said, when it said Sukkah, in any case, is kosher, La'asuye comes to include my what? Like, what are you adding by saying Sukkah Mikol Makom? Sukkahs of Goyim, Sukkahs of Nashim, Sukkahs of Behemah, Sukkahs of Kusim, kosher, they're all good. A Sukkah, no matter what, is good. Well, what are you adding by saying no matter what? The right answer is, it comes, La'asuye, it comes to include Sukkahs Rakbash. Another acronym. Sukkahs Rakbash. What is Rakbash? The Tanur Rabbanan, as we learn in Ebraisa. Sukkahs Rakbash, meaning Sukkahs Roim. Roim are shepherds. Sukkahs Kayatsim. Kayatsim are... That's just a Shomrei Kitzios. The people that they didn't get paid that much. They watched these stuff drying. You know, someone's got to make sure nobody steals, the animals don't do anything to all of your grapes while they're drying out, or your figs or whatever that people are drying out. So there are people that were paid to sit there and be scarecrows, you know? Okay, they didn't get paid that much. But that's a sukkah for the kayatsim. It gets hot, so they need, you know, shade. Burgenin, sukkahs burgenin, shemrei ha'ir, physical guards of the city. And, lost the place in a second. Sukkahs Burgenin and Sukkahs Shomrei Peiros, that's the shin at the end, Rakbash. Shomrei Peiros, the one who are guarding the fruits that are growing. They're not drying, they're growing. Sukkah Mikol Makom, again, this price also says Sukkah no matter what. Mikol Makom in any case. Sheira is kosher. As long as it is schacht appropriately. That it was the schach was made for sheep. Okay, so what just happened? So Gemara said, we had a list of all of these sukkahs. As long as they're made for shade, they're good. We don't care about anything else. It just has to be made for shade. And Gemara says, and sukkah no matter what is good. So what do you add? What are you adding sukkah no matter what? Meaning, even if it's a sukkah that's for shepherds or various forms of guards, that's also good. That's what the Braisa meant. And then you'll notice that in the Braisa that lists those four, again it says sukkah mikol makom. You see, Tanur Rabbanan, sukkahs rakbash, sukkahs roim, sukkahs kayatsum, sukkahs burgenin, sukkahs shomay peris, sukkah mikol makom, ksheira, the Bavach in Mesechus Kelch, as long as it's schacht properly. So you have, on the one hand, the first Braisa that we quoted saying sukkah mikol makom after a whole list. And you have another Braisa of the whole list that again says sukkah mikol makom. So the Gemara says, again, the same question. Okay, so you answer sukkah mikol makom in the first Braisa refers to rakbash. But in the Braisa of Rakbash, it also says sukkah mikol makom. Sukkah mikol makom lasu yaman. So sukkah mikol makom in that Braisa, what does that refer to? Lasu sukkahs kanbach. That refers to the sukkahs in the other list. Wait, so each one is referring to the other one. So what's going on is, one presentation is this list of Goyim, Nashim, Behemos, and Kusim, and even that Rakbash. And the other one says, Sukkahs Rakbash, and even Ganbach. So it seems like it's two different perspectives here. It seems like one Bryce is saying, and even something lowly, or like, you know, like that, even something that you would expect would not be good, even that is good. But the starting point of both Bryces is different. Are you with me? A lot of squeezing out over there. So the difference between the two Bryces is there's a starting point, and even that is good. But they're exact opposites of each other. Because one of them is saying, whatever the particular example is, sukkahs nashim, sukkahs ganav, you know, sukkahs yagayim, that's good. And even this, the shepherds or whatever. And the other one's like taking the opposite perspective. The sukkah of a shepherd and those on the guards is good. And even the sukkah of the Goyim and the Nashim and whatever. Now, what's the difference between the two lists? The guards is what type of sukkah? They're not living there at all, but it's there for shade, right? I mean, they want to get out of the sun. And what is the other list? I mean, they are living there. They're not just a guard that's going in. I mean, what's the difference? Aren't they all the same thing? Like, what's on our list? Goyim, Nashim, Behemoths. I mean, all isn't it all at the end of the day? All these are just a shade from the sun, no? So Gemara says like this. Hi, Tana, the Ganvach. This Tana that lists Goyim, Nashim, Behemoths, and Kusim. Alima le Ganvach. Alima means stronger. Those are more likely to be valid. Well, what is Alima? Rashi writes, Chashuva la Hachshir. Are more likely to be kosher. Why? Mishum de kviye, because they're more fixed. It's for the whole season or whatever, you know. They want to hang out in the shade for a long time, for the whole summer. V'katana mikol makom, and so he adds, and asuka, whatever it is, in reference to rakbash. Lasuye rakbash, to include rakbash, the lo kviye, because those are not really fixed. Not very permanent things. They're just mamish, like a little shack to get a little shade for a little while. But if it blows over, we'll make another one tomorrow. V'hai Tana de Rakbash, and that Tana that has his starting point of Rakbash, Alimale Rakbash, he actually thinks those would be more likely to be kosher for Sukkah. Why? D'bnei Chiyuvin in who? Because the people that they were made for are Chayv and Sukkah. The list of Ganvach are Goyim, Nashim, Behemos, and Kusim. All of them are exempt from Sukkah. Right? Women don't have to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. Women are exempt from Sukkot. Mitzvahs Aseh Shazman Grama. Goyim are certainly exempt. Animals have no mitzvahs. And the Kusim, I guess we're assuming, are not chayav. Which is interesting. Okay. So that's what he says. But the list of shepherds and various forms of guards, we're not talking about non-Jewish shepherds, non-Jewish guards, we're talking about Jewish ones.
And not and a sukkah, no matter what, is still kosher. La asuya ganvach. That includes the goyim, nashim, behemos, and kusim. The lav bnei chiyuvaninu, because they're not obligated. So even if you make a sukkah for shade for someone that's not obligated in sukkah, even that's good too. So again, so what are the two perspectives? One perspective is the sukkahs of people which are more permanent types of sukkahs. So those are good, and for sure a little like guard sukkah is good. The other way to look at it is that a sukkah that's made for someone that's chayav, so all those sukkahs are good. And even if they're made for someone that's not chayav at all, it's still good because it's really all about shade. So it's just two different ways of looking at it, different perspectives. But at the end of the day, everybody is including everybody else. It doesn't change the halacha. It's just a question of perspective, which what's more likely to be kosher and what is less likely to be kosher. And chevra, we have finished the first Mishnah in Sukkah. We have learned all the way through Ches Amud Beis, we're up to Tes Amud Aleph, the next Mishnah in Sukkah. I think that's pretty good.
Rock solid.
It's Mamash Keva. Mamash Keva. So utilize Sukkahs to go over it, do some Chazara over that. If you're awake, I want to share with you an idea I shared with the guys last year that I think is a very important idea because it puts the entire Chag, including Rosh Hashanah, that we have already begun to embark upon, into a certain perspective that gives it a certain meaning that I don't know we necessarily would have given it. We spoke a couple of minutes ago about the tour. Why in the world is Sukkot this time of year? And the Torah answered, because it makes it obvious that we're going into the sukkah for a mitzvah, not just because we want to get out of the sun. The Vilna Gaon has a totally different answer to that question. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Shir HaShirim, so he writes that the sukkah actually represents, as Rabbi Akiva says, the Anane Yakavod, right? It's not any Anane Yakavod. It's the Anan Yakavod that returned to Klal Yisrael after losing it from Chet HaEgel. What? When Klal Yisrael did Chet HaEgel in Midbar, they lost the Anan Yakavod. Those clouds of glory of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that surrounded them on all sides, including underneath them, they lost it. And they were exposed and they're out in the open. They had to do tshuva. Once the tshuva was accepted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at some point, the Anan Yakavod came back. When exactly did the Anan Yakavod come back? Are you ready for this? This is the Cheshbon of the Vilna Gaon. When was Chet HaEgel again? Anybody remember? When was the Chet HaEgel? What day on the calendar did it occur?
40 days after Shavuot. That's true. I think we're talking about the same date, but in between.
Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei, 40 days before Yom Kippur is Rosh Chodesh Elul. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Har Sinai to get the second Luchos and receive the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. How long were they doing Tshuva before? What happened? When was the Chet HaEgel before that? So the Chet HaEgel is on Shivasar B'Tammuz. Shivasar B'Tammuz was the Chet HaEgel. Then was Tshuva. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Har Sinai, comes back down with the Luchos. With those luchos came along with the instructions to build the Mishkan. Says the Vilna Gaon, they spent a day or two making announcements, collecting all of the items they needed for the Mishkan, and 4 days later, after Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchos, 4 days later, construction of the Mishkan began. Tes Vav, the 15th of Nisan, which of course corresponds to the first day of Tes Vav Tishrei, the first day of Sukkot, right? Yom Kippur, then you got a break for 4 days, then Sukkot, right? Says the Vilna Gaon, Sukkot corresponds to the returning of the Anan Yakavod that came back with the beginning of the construction of the Mishkan. Okay, what's the significance of that? The Vilna Gaon is telling us that what our Sukkah represents is not. Well, let me take a step back for a minute. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, everyone agrees, is a tshuva process. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of it, beginning of a Aseret Yemei Tshuva, recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. And then Yom Kippur, we actually do tshuva, we confess, right? Is Sukkot part of that? Or is Sukkot really part of the Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot group? Which is what we always think, right? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Hashal, Shudalim. Pesach is when we left Mitzrayim, Shavuos, we got the Torah, and Sukkot is really part of Pesach. It's just, you know, we want to make it obvious that we're celebrating Sukkot, so we don't do it at the time of year when it would look like we're just hanging out in the Sukkot. That's what the Torah said. Says the Vilna Gaon, there's another way to look at Sukkot. Totally, totally different way to look at it. It represents the response to Tshuva. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, I've forgiven you. I'm coming back to you. So just like Klal Yisrael did the ego, lost the Ananei HaKavod, had to do Tshuva, and with the construction of the Mishkan, beginning of it, they got the Ananei HaKavod back. Those are the Ananei HaKavod that are referred to. That's the Sukkah. The Ananei HaKavod and Sukkah. But the Ananei HaKavod that the Sukkah represents, the Ananei HaKavod, is not any Ananei HaKavod. It's not the Ananei HaKavod they left Mitzrayim with. It's the Ananei HaKavod of Tshuva. Yeah? I want to share something that the Rambam says to you. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, we know that he describes Tshuva and the four components that we discussed. But I've got something else also. He says, let's say you have a person that's doing tshuva. He has what's called darkei hatshuva. How would you translate darkei hatshuva? Paths. Now, as you're going to see in a second, the paths of tshuva are not tshuva. Tshuva is the four things we discussed. What are the darkei hatshuva? The darkei hatshuva that the guy who's doing tshuva, the guy who's revending, so eight tamid of Hashem, the vechi v'sachanun, and he's constantly crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu with tears and pleading. V'ozit staka k'vikocho, he gives staka according to his capacity. U'misrachek harve min adavar shechadavo, and distances himself a lot from whatever he did his aver with. U'mishan shemo, and he changes his name. Klomar, as if to say, ani achir, I'm a different person. I'm not the same person who did all those things. He changes all of his actions to good. All of his actions, meaning more than just the things he did wrong? He tries to be a better person in general? And he exiles himself from his place. He relocates himself. Shigalus mechaperes avon, because exile atones for a person's sins. If they should go remeso lahachnia, it causes him to become humble, with the osanav, and be an humble person. Vishval ruach, and lowly of spirit. So how did you have to kind of categorize this? Like, what's the Rambam saying? Like, what is this? This is not tshuva. This is what? How would you describe this? In own words. Like, what is the Rambam trying to describe? What? So these are things that are in the background of tshuva. They help. The person that's doing tshuva doesn't want to just like fix a little detail. He wants to fix his whole personality. He wants to change who he is. He wants to become a better person. He wants to make sure that Hashem is going to forgive him. So he doesn't just focus on fixing this detail of tshuva. He wants to become a better person. He's really working on himself altogether. So he's crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, beseeching that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's giving tzedaka, and he's staying far away from the thing he did wrong. But then the Rambam says he changes his name like he's a new person. That's like a psychological trick. It's a ploy just to help us along, you know? And then he changes all of his actions to good. All of that. And he exiles himself from his place. So from this Rambam, I had a thought. The structure that Tishrei affords us mirrors what the Rambam is saying. What do you mean? So remember we discussed why there's no tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? And one of the examples I gave you was because how could you go up to the king in the inauguration when he's celebrating and there's this big parade and a big party and all the music and you go up to the king and you're like, I'm so sorry! You're like, it's just like not appropriate for the day. There's a totally different way of looking at it. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that when a person is ready to do tshuva, it's hard. Because a person says to himself, at the end of the day, I've been doing this for years and years and years, and I'm just going to stop and do tshuva. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, what you have to do is you have to, it's artificial. It really is artificial. It's a psychological trick, but you have to do it. You have to say, I'm starting over. New person, I didn't do it. New person. And the beginning of every year, that's what everyone tells you. Right? You can be in the same yeshiva for 20 years. But every year, the first day of the Zman, the Mashkiach, the Shiva says the same thing. It's a new Zman! It's a new year! We're starting over. Whatever happened before is irrelevant. You can't be the elephant with the peg. Remember the elephant and the peg. Everything's new! No, of course it's not new. You're in the same yeshiva. You're going to the same classroom, the same Rebbe. You know, whatever. But it doesn't matter. It's an opportunity because there's something new to psychologically view it differently and break away from the past. So that's what Rosh Hashanah really is. Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity. We don't talk about what we did in the past because we're new. We're reborn. Totally new. What do you mean? You're the same person you were last year? No! New me. Rambam says, Mishana Shmo, change your name. Klomar! I'm a different person. I'm not the same person that did all those affairs. Of course you are. But you can't look at it that way because you'll never be able to do tshuva. So for now, in order to start the process, we are ignoring the fact that we've been doing this for the last 10 years. Ignoring it. No, wasn't me. Not even my name. Wasn't me. And that's how we start the new year. We don't talk about our virus. The no virus are Rosh Hashanah, right? No achet, Rosh Hashanah, nothing. New person. But then at some point, once you've broken with it and you can start to change and you start to see yourself as a new person, at the end of the day, we got to do tshuva. And the Rambam says, Mishana Maisam Kulam Lutayva. He changes all of his actions to good. How do you change all of your actions to good? Comes along in Kippur and says, you do tshuva, you erase the past. You erase the past. You change everything you ever did. And you make it all good. Change all your maisim to good. Everything becomes mamash anutzah. The person really does tshuva. You could take that malach that's so ugly and represents avera, morph him into a malach of tshuva. Beautiful, shining malach of tshuva. Okay, so if that's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what's Sukkos? Rambam says, Gola Mimkomo. You exile yourself from your place. You go to a different town, you go to a different city. Because Golos is Mechaper on Averis. Why? Because it causes a person to feel lowly, to feel like, you know, he's not the big Macher that he was in the place that he came from. He's a nobody. So that's the Sukkah. We exile, we don't live in our house with all of our beautiful this, that, and the other thing. We go out to a Sukkah. And we realize that what protects us is not our house, is not our video cameras, is not our alarm system. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam, interesting, the Rambam's darkei HaTshuva is like the background of Tshuva, the other things that are going on in the background, and Tishrei actually does that. And according to the Vilna Gaon, Sukkos does fit into the Tshuva process. Right? Model one was that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is one thing. Sukkos, you know, it's part of Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. It's nothing to do with tshuva. Says the Vilna Gaon, no. It represents the Ananiya covenant of tshuva. It's part of the tshuva process. So how do we integrate Sukkah into the tshuva process? So one, the Rambam. The Rambam says, because it's Golos. We're going into Golos. And in fact, you're never going to believe this. There's a Medrash that says, if Klal Yisrael were actually chayav some sort of gullus this year, our sukkah should be considered like our gullus. There's a medrash like that, way before the times of the Rambam. Maybe that's one of the things he was thinking about. That it should atone for us. It's like we went into gullus by going into the sukkah. Okay, we're going to go back to another model, how to view the sukkah as tshuva in a minute. I just want to head in a different direction, just as almost a footnote for 1 second. You know, probably know well, that not everyone agrees that the sukkah represents the Ananiya Kavod, right? The other opinion is what? That the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything we needed to build physical sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim. And so sukkahs is a celebration of a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the physical, you know, everything we needed to make sukkahs. What kind of celebration is that? If it's the Ananiya Kavod Tshuva, okay, we can start to work with that. Why are we celebrating physical huts? So part of that is really the other model. That Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos is at different times of year. It represents different seasons. And the season of Sukkos is what? We're not even in touch with it. What's happening on Sukkot?
Harvest.
The harvest is over. The harvest began a long time ago. But what do you mean it's over? Because what's about to start?
Winter.
Yeah, in Eretz, so what does that mean?
Rain.
What do you do with your crops when it's raining? That's right. You're finished. You want it to rain because it's going to rain on the seeds and whatever else has been planted for the next season. But the harvest is, this is the end of the harvest. So how do you feel at the end of the harvest? So all of the farmers are all excited. This is the, it's a successful year. It's a time that is ripe for gaiva. It's a time that's ripe for gaiva, for arrogance. So comes along and says, get out of here, house! This is the time you need to realize who gives you your parnasa, who protects you, who takes care of you. You look up in the stars, you see them through your sra. It's a Kaddish Baruch. So that's part of the humility of the sukkah. As the Rambam is saying here in the context of tshuva, that the sukkah is there to give us a sense of a Kaddish Baruch is the one that protects us, a Kaddish Baruch is the one that provides for us. So that has a value in the agricultural sense, and it has a value in the tshuva, the dark yeshiva sense as well. Next. There's another model for tshuva also, and this is my own idea based on this, but it's... Listen to this. In Chumash itself, you'll notice that the word sukkos appears. Can anybody think? Not in talking about a sukkah. A physical location, or something that someone made. You know what I'm talking about? Can you think of it? A couple of times where it comes up. You know? What is it? Who made Sukkos? Earlier. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu made Sukkos. Why? And when was it? After this whole wrestling match with the angel of Esau. After meeting up with the physical Esau. He has his salvation from all of that. He makes sukkahs. Like, why? Why all of a sudden does that dimension make sukkahs? There's a place called Sukkos, Klal Yisrael. As Kiyo was just saying, they leave Mitzrayim, they go to Sukkos. What is it after some sort of moment of inspiration, moment of growth, moments of challenge, immediately after you find Sukkos? Yaakov Avinu, Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, as Kiyo pointed out, both examples. Yeah? Why is it after every moment of growth, of challenge, then they go to Sukkos? Where do we mention Sukkos in our davening at Maariv every day? Ufros Aleinu, Sukkos Shlemecha. In our davening every day, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we have Hashkiveinu. Yitzias Mitzrayim and Sukkos. What's going on over here? And Chazal asked, how are we allowed to say Hashkiveinu? Remember, you're supposed to connect Gaal Yisrael, Geula, to Tefillah. You familiar with this, Gemara brothers? Where it says you have to connect Geula to Tefillah. You're not allowed to talk in between Gaal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei.
Oh, but Hashkiveinu is okay.
Why did they stick in Hashkiveinu there if the same Chazal is saying you're not allowed to do that? The answer is, it's called a Geula Arichta. It's an extended Geula. It's part of Gal Yisrael. It's not a Hefsek. And Chazal don't explain what they mean by that. Why is Hashkiveinu a Geula Arichta? Why is it an extended redemption? What does that mean? So you ready? Because every single time there is some sort of Geula, some sort of redemption, some sort of victory over a challenge, growth, there has to be an incubation period. Incubation period. You take a little baby, he's not ready for the world. And then you stick him in an incubator. He's not ready yet. He's too fragile. There's a period of time after delicate growth where if you go ahead and you take that thing that's just been produced, it's so fragile in its new existence that it needs time to incubate. And that's the sukkah. That's why you find it like that in Tanakh. Because after these opportunities of growth, after Geula, you can't just go back to real life. You need a time period to incubate that. And that's the sukkah. That's why it's a ge'ula arichta. It's an extended ge'ula. It's necessary for the ge'ula. You can't have a ge'ula and just, you know, go back and go. No, you need that incubation period to solidify it and make sure that it's able to then go on and be real. Because then what would be the opposite? You take something that's so delicate, you say, okay, let's go. So you lose it. It's going to fail. You take a person after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and these Zim Shuvim, all know how we feel at Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is like the highest point of the year. And then you say, okay, tomorrow back to work. So what's supposed to happen? What does the Jewish calendar tell us? That what happens is after Yom Kippur? In fact, the Ramban Shulchan Aruch writes, that's the minig, you build your sukkah, at least you do something to build the sukkah. Motza Yom Kippur. You go straight from Yom Kippur to the sukkah. And the Ramban writes, because you want to go from mitzvah to mitzvah. I'm saying more than that. I'm saying because you have to move on to the incubation period. You can't just go back to life, it won't work. So what is this incubation period exactly? You know what's so special and unique about the sukkah? You can do a mitzvah unconsciously. What? What do you mean? What's the mitzvah of sukkah? Live. How do you live? What do you mean? You do what you always do. You don't do anything differently. You live.
You eat, sleep, drink.
Yeah, what do you mean? You live. Teishvu, kein taduru. You live in your sukkah. So what's the mitzvah of sukkah? Mitzvah sukkah is to do everything you normally do. Everything you normally do. Life. In an incubator. In a sukkah. In the Anani Akavi. It's a mitzvah on sukkahs to sleep. Mitzvah. Eat.
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah. Eating. Eating is a mitzvah. Eating is usually how you keep yourself alive. In a sukkah, you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with eating, with sleeping. That's the incubator. It's a beautiful idea. It basically is taking a person and saying, okay, you're very delicate now. You want to be able to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, the deepest of ways. I'm going to facilitate that. I'm going to enable that. You don't even need to be conscious of it. Just go into your sukkah. You've got to be conscious of the sukkah a little bit. But just go into the sukkah and just live. And you'll see. It's time away. And after that's all over, then you can get back to life. But you'll see, you'll be changed. But if you go straight from Yom Kippur and you don't have sukkah, then forget about it. How long is Yom Kippur going to last? So the sukkah is the incubator for the ge'ula that we experienced of Yom Kippur. Now, one more point. What's the last day of sukkahs, if you will? There's one more chag. There's really another chag after sukkahs, right? What's it called?
Simchas Torah.
That's not Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a little bit artificial. And I'm going to explain that in a second. Because why do we celebrate Simchas Torah? Well, what is Shemini Atzeres? Shemini Atzeres is the eighth day. What do we do on Shemini Atzeres? What's the mitzvah of Shemini Atzeres? It's a trick question. Because there isn't any. V'samachta b'chagayecha. Just be happy. What's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar. Mitzvah Yom Kippur, tshuva. What's the mitzvah of Sukkot? Sukkah, Ulah, Esther, Das and Maravis. What's the mitzvah of Shemini Atzeres? Eat. Meat. Drink wine. What? What's going on over here? What is Shemini Atzeres? So you know what Chazal say? Chazal say that on Sukkot, if you look at how many cows are being sacrificed every day, it starts with the, what is 13? And it goes down to 1. Shemini Atzeres is 1. Why? Because we add it all together, you get to 70 over Sukkot. And the one cow, Shemini Atzeres, is Klal Yisrael. Because there's 70 nations of the world, and we're bringing Karbanos for the whole world, for the new year. But Shemini Atzeres, Chazal give a mashal. It's like the king had his whole entourage, all of his ministers, everybody's there. And he's celebrating for 7 days. Party, big party. On the eighth day, he says, you know what? I want to spend time just with my family. So everybody else get out, only my family stays. It's us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are there no mitzvahs on Shemini Atzeres? What's going on over here?
Are you doing the sukkah 7 days?
So that's the sukkah, because it's still the sake of human. Chutz Aretz, you know, we're not sure. Still be sukkahs. Yeah, so that's the sukkah. But really, in Eretz Yisrael, Shemini Atzeres, no sukkah. No sukkah at all.
Say, like, have all every 7 days?
I'm saying, we do, right? The first day of Shemini Atzeres, the minig of most non-Hasidim, is that we eat in the sukkah without a bracha if it's nice weather. We don't want it to make it look like we're adding to the mitzvah, but we're still suffering. So that's the minimum. But we don't really, technically, not supposed to be in the sukkah shemini atzeres. There's no mitzvah sukkah shemini atzeres. So it's as if a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash, you know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu! The only mitzvah I have today, shemini atzeres, is to be happy. And I'm so happy! I'm ecstatic! It's my time, just you and me! No korbanos for the goyim anymore. Nothing else. It's just class. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me and you. Happy! So happy! I'm ecstatic! I am bored. What do we do now, God? Nothing to do. Why is it there's nothing to do in shemini atzeres? I said to myself, that's the point. The point is that shemini atzeres is the nexus between everything that we've been doing with Shoshana and Kippur, incubation, and then the one day. That's the nexus between all of that and all the rest of the year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chevra, there's no more props. There's no more darkei atshuva. What is our relationship all about? And what's the answer? It's no more sukkah. We can't just be eating and drinking and it be a mitzvah anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you what it's all about. It's all about Torah. You can make sleeping into a mitzvah, but instead of it being unconscious, now you have to be conscious. Now says the Rambam, "Bechol drachecha da'ehu," in all your ways, Nolan. If a person goes to sleep, and in his mind he says to himself, I'm sleeping so I can be healthy to serve Hashem, he's doing a mitzvah. Mamash a mitzvah. If he eats with the kavana, he needs to be healthy to serve Hashem, he's doing a mitzvah by eating. On sukkahs, you don't have to have those kavanas, because you're eating in a sukkah, doing a mitzvah. But the rest of the year, you have to be conscious about it. So that, what day could be more appropriate for Simcha Torah than Shemini Atzeres? The day where we're ready to go back, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, last day with me. What is our relationship all about? No more props. You're going back to real life. What's it going to be? What day makes more sense to celebrate Torah, that we finished it, we finished reading the whole Torah, than that day, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to send us back to the rest of the year, the rest of our normal life? That's Simchas Torah. Yeah? So that's the whole process that we've begun. That we have Rosh Hashanah, I'm another person. Change your name, new person, I'm starting over. But eventually you gotta come face to face, you gotta change the past, you gotta do tshuva. Change all of your actions to the good. It's okay, so we're going to the Kippur. But that's a tremendous geula. And the emotions of Ne'ila are incredible. But you can't just go back. You have to make sukkis, just like Yaakov Avinu did, just like in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we went to a place called sukkis, just like we have Hashkiveinu, after we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim and davening every single night. There has to be sukkah shleimecha, there has to be the sukkah after a geula. So that's what we do. So we go into our sukkah. I call it the incubator. And we incubate that delicate bria. And maybe that's what the Ramo had in mind also when he says, Mutzi Yom Kippur, go build your sukkah. Go build your sukkah. You have to incubate this. And that enables us to incubate. How do you incubate? You incubate by living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That normal life is a mitzvah. You're connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu by living. But then the last day comes, Shemini Atzeres. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, it's all over. No more props, no more shofar, no more lulav, no more sukkah, no more nothing. So it's you and me, what's this about? So Midrabanan, we created a Simchas Torah. We created the message to us, was that this is what you have to take for the rest of the year. You could be doing exactly the same thing. You could be living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but this time it requires Torah. It requires consciousness, it requires you know you're doing a mitzvah, you try to do the mitzvahs, and that's what you have to take with you for the rest of the year. And that is another model for how Tishrei fits into the whole process of Teshuvah. Shalom Zeicha to be Chayzer Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, to change the past into only shining Malachim, to be able to have a Sukkis, a Sukkas Shlemecha, experience Yanani HaKavid, to incubate what we built, to be able to be inspired with Simchas Torah, and I will see you that next day, and we will begin Tess Mural Gemara Sukkah. And after Rechasim Teva, Duke Ben Shtir.